Chapter 47, Section 3. Rent in Kind. The transformation of labour rent into rent in kind changes nothing from the economic standpoint in the nature of ground rent. The latter consists, in the forms considered here, in that rent is the sole prevailing and normal form of surplus value, or surplus labour. This is further expressed in the fact that it is the only surplus labour, or the only surplus product, which the direct producer, who is in possession of the labour conditions needed for his own reproduction, must give up to the owner of the land, which in this situation is the all-embracing condition of labour. And furthermore, that land is the only condition of labour which confronts the direct producer as alien property, independent of him, and personified by the landlord. To whatever extent rent in kind is the prevailing and dominant form of ground rent, it is furthermore always more or less accompanied by survivals of the earlier form, that is, of rent paid directly in labour, corvée, unpaid labour, no matter whether the landlord be a private person or the state. Rent in kind presupposes a higher stage of civilization for the direct producer, that is, a higher level of development of his labour and of society in general. And it is distinct from the preceding form in that surplus labour needs no longer be performed in its natural form, thus no longer under the direct supervision and compulsion of the landlord or his representatives. The direct producer is driven rather by force of circumstances than by direct coercion, through legal enactment rather than the whip, to perform it on his own responsibility. Surplus production, in the sense of production beyond the indispensable needs of the direct producer and within the field of production actually belonging to him, upon the land exploited by himself instead of, as earlier, upon the nearby lord's estate beyond his own land, has already become a self-understood rule here. In this relation, the direct producer more or less disposes of his entire labour time, although, as previously, a part of this labour time, at first practically the entire surplus portion of it, belongs to the landlord without compensation, except that the landlord no longer directly receives this surplus labour in its natural form, but rather in the product's natural form in which it is realised. The burdensome, and according to the way in which enforced labour is regulated, more or less disturbing interruption by work for the landlord, see Volume 1, Chapter 10, Section 2, Manufacture and Boyar, stops wherever rent in kind appears in pure form, or at least it is reduced to a few short intervals during the year, when a continuation of some corvée labour, side by side with rent in kind, takes place. The labour of the producer for himself and his labour for the landlord are no longer palpably separated by time and space. This rent in kind, in its pure form, while it may drag fragments along into more highly developed modes of production and production relations, still presupposes for its existence a natural economy. That is, that the conditions of the economy are either wholly or for the overwhelming part produced by the economy itself, directly replaced and reproduced out of its gross product. It furthermore presupposes the combination of rural home industry with agriculture. The surplus product which forms the rent is the product of this combined agricultural and industrial family labour, no matter whether rent in kind contains more or less of the industrial product, as is often the case in the Middle Ages, or whether it is paid only in the form of actual products of the land. In this form of rent, it is by no means necessary for rent in kind, which represents the surplus labour, to fully exhaust the entire surplus labour of the rural family. Compared with labour rent, the producer rather has more room for action to gain time for surplus labour whose product shall belong to himself, as well as the product of his labour which satisfies his indispensable needs. Similarly, this form will give rise to greater differences in the economic position of the individual direct producers. At least the possibility for such a differentiation exists, and the possibility for the direct producer to have in turn acquired the means to exploit other labourers directly. This, however, does not concern us here, since we are dealing with rent in kind in its pure form. Just as in general, we cannot enter into the endless variety of combinations wherein the various forms of rent may be united, adulterated, and amalgamated. The form of rent in kind, by being bound to a definite type of product and production itself, and through its indispensable combination of agriculture and domestic industry, through its almost complete self-sufficiency, whereby the peasant family supports itself through its independence from the market and the movements of production, and history of that section of society lying outside of its sphere. In short, owing to the character of natural economy in general, this form is quite adapted to furnishing the basis for stationary social conditions, as we see, for example, in Asia. Here, as in the earlier form of labour rent, ground rent is the normal form of surplus value, and thus of surplus labour, that is, of the entire excess labour which the direct producer must perform gratis, hence actually under compulsion, although this compulsion no longer confronts him in the old brutal form, for the benefit of the owner of his essential condition of labour, the land. The profit, if by erroneously anticipating, we may thus call that portion of the direct producer's labour excess over his necessary labour, which he retains for himself, has so little to do with determining rent in kind, that this profit, on the contrary, grows up behind the back of rent, and finds its natural limit in the size of rent in kind. The latter may assume dimensions which seriously imperil reproduction of the conditions of labour, the means of production themselves, rendering the expansion of production more or less impossible, and reducing the direct producers to the physical minimum of means of subsistence. This is particularly the case when this form is met with, and exploited by, a conquering commercial nation. For example, the English in India.